Welcome to Iconic, where we talk about all things 13th Age. I'm your host, JM, and with me as always are Nick and Becca and Mark.
Hey.
Hello.
Hello.
We have a great show for you this week. We are going back to that iconic look, where we take a look at a single icon, the way they're set up, the way they interact with the campaign, and how we would build a campaign around one icon. And for this iconic look, we are looking at either the Archmage or the Archmage, depending on how you pronounce it.
Same being.
So let's just get right into it. According to the book, the Archmage, he's a force for order. He uses and controls magic, but sort of as he sees fit. So how do you guys envision the Archmage?
I look at him as a crazy old guy who has tried too many dangerous spells and rituals. And kind of like your take, doesn't really care about the little people. He wants his order so he can do his things. Because when it's chaotic, he can't, but doesn't really care.
Yeah, I see him very much as so far concerned with the big picture. Like, he only sees things at the 10,000-foot view. Somewhere in the back of his mind, he remembers, yeah, there are people in the Empire. Mm-hmm. What about you, Becca?
I have used him in a way that is fairly manipulative. Getting players to be where he needs them to be, really regardless of their own desires and their focus. For example, used him in our Patreon game, and he got the whole group to a ward that was failing. Everybody had issues with who else was involved in the ward and its creation, and the fact that they had to fight their way through it as if it wasn't clearly thought out by the Archmage, and it really wasn't. He just needed somebody to go and make sure it was fine. And it doesn't matter if you die, I'll just send somebody else in a couple hours if it doesn't work.
Yeah.
See, that's, I kind of go with that because, like you said, he didn't think it through. Because my take is he really isn't that innovative. He got everything from the Wizard King. You know, and it goes into that in True Ways, 13 True Ways, that there hasn't been another since him, since the Wizard King. No one's really matched him. He was the innovator and really had the power. Mm-hmm. I think the rest are more imitators.
Nick, what about you? What's your take on the Archmage?
I see him as being a bit of a genius, someone who he can see a lot of all of the different moving pieces and how they all tie together. I also see him as being someone who's overwhelmed, someone who's constantly trying to keep all of the plates spinning. He's got to make sure that all of the wards stay up and running. I envision any sort of interaction with him would be very scatterbrained and hard to actually have a conversation with him because he's constantly interrupting, saying, I'm sorry, what were you saying? I was dealing with something else. Or hold that thought. There's a storm I need to take care of. Okay, now, where were we? You're just constantly trying to stay on top of everything that he is responsible to do. I would put him in that position primarily due to his magical talent. So if anyone ever had more magical talent than the Archmage, I don't know how he'd handle that.
Yeah. I find it interesting that for an icon that on at least the alignment chart is very much like lawful neutral good.
Well, just look at his picture in the book.
We all sort of have taken a little bit more skeptical, a little bit more. I think the next time I run a 13th Age campaign, he's going to be like Merlin from The Sword and the Stone.
He looks like Emperor Ming from Flash Gordon. It's like, oh, I will crush you. You will follow me because I'm powerful. Do not question my decisions. That's my take.
And again, a lot of this is going to depend on, right, if you have three players who come to the table with a negative relationship with the Archmage, well, maybe he is super shady and nefarious.
To a certain degree, your Archmage is going to vary. You know, mm-hmm. The book describes him in a certain way, and we're going to talk about him in a certain way, but that doesn't mean that you have to be playing him that way in your campaign.
True.
You know, based on what you're hearing from your players, based on where you want to be taking this campaign, where you want it to be ending up at that epic tier, you may end up reflavoring mm-hmm. who the Archmage is and how he's interacting with the Dragon Empire.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. All right. So where on the map, if you will, do we find the Archmage?
Horizon.
Mark, do you want to give us a little overview on what Horizon is?
Horizon is a very magical place. A lot of people want to get there for answers. Doesn't mean you're going to get the answers you want or see who you want to see. Mm-hmm. It's just, I would describe it as very, not ethereal magic, like fey magic. I kind of picture the Elf Queen as a fey court being way different.
Right.
But just very orderly, a lot of magical stuff, magical guardians, magical portals. They talk about the superiors and running security and being able to pop, basically teleport across town to handle whatever situation is in place. Obviously a lot of magic. So if you're looking for information, you know, besides the great library, this would be the place to come find some esoteric information from sages and spell components, or trying to sell spell components, but very magical place.
You got your wizarding schools.
Yeah, academies. Different wizarding schools. And they talk about the architecture being from ages past and why, even like the Wizard King architecture stuff and why it would be there. And the fact that it's inherent to the city itself. It's not just the Statue of Caesar. Okay, I'm the next emperor. I tear it down because I don't like it. It's inherent. You can't take it down because it's part of the structure. You could say this magical matrix that makes up Horizon. And the different archmages through the years would have different things, and they're all part of the city. And it's not, again, it's not just, you know, a statue or a column to Trajan. It's there for a reason.
And you can find Horizon in 13 True Ways on page 140.
Yep.
And they give you a lot of different interpretations. So much like the Archmage, you're going to have a number of different ways to flavor and run with this. Even as you were just saying this, I'm like, well, why haven't I ever, like, I could totally flavor the Archmage like Humphrey from the Zant series. The recluse who knows everything and everyone knows that he knows everything. And so he's really tired of people knocking on his door asking him questions.
Yes. Or you can play him like in Dragonlance for Standalus. He's super powerful. Can't remember squat.
Yeah, he's got too much.
Things just
brain.
Pop off and he doesn't really remember, and you don't know if it's an act or what, but just, yeah, he's just super powerful. That's if you get to meet him.
Right.
You know, you can read, like I said, the superiors, which makes sense. You're going to read underling mages.
Right.
Sorcerers.
What a great idea for a campaign to do a con or a heist game in Horizon, especially if the Archmage is sort of the man. Right. Mm-hmm. If you're trying to, and in that case, like it's 13th age, so you could do just about anything. Like you're trying to steal the ward map that only exists in his head.
You could be, you know, sponsored by the Dwarf King who wants that wand back because everything magical is mine.
That's true.
He borrowed it, never gave it back. You need to go get it.
While you were describing Horizon, I was thinking of, I guess, a campaign idea in that you go to Horizon. It is too uptight and lawful. You get in a bar fight. The superiors show up. You get thrown in jail. And then this old crazy guy shows up and wants you to be a double agent against the Prince of Shadows or against somebody else who's against him. And the next thing you know, you're on the outside and you think you're working for the Archmage. But are you? Kind of like Jafar meeting Aladdin in the cells.
Mm-hmm.
But Link, I think you could run it either you're stealing from the Archmage, you could run it as the Archmage has trying to hire you undercover. And yeah, there's a lot of things there that on the surface seem pretty cut and dry and straightforward, but with a little creative twist and some sweet one unique things, it could be a completely different world.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go from there into who stands naturally in sort of opposition to the Archmage. The book gives us two, the High Druid kind of chafing on that boundary between civilization and the wild, and the Elf Queen, because to the elves, magic doesn't belong to the humans. It belongs to.
And the Druid, because he wants to control everything to include magic and the weather and everything else. And he wants it in a very orderly fashion, which we know doesn't work, but that's his take on it. Or at least the Dragon Empire's take on Archmage and the Druid.
Right. Well, if the Archmage is such a good follower of the Emperor, a good second in command, if you will, and follows the law so closely and attempts to control everything so tightly, any icon that enjoys a little bit of chaos or even revels in disrupting the Empire's systems is going to find itself lined up against the Archmage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I picked the Diabolist for obvious reasons. Doesn't like the wars, doesn't like the control. I also like Prince of Shadows. I have a take on the prince that he or she, the being, is the most powerful being and does what he does because he's bored. He could take over, but then he'd have to run everything. And that's just a bore. So he just, like I put, because he can, he thwarts and plays with the Archmage and the Emperor because he can. You know, kind of doesn't want to topple it too far because realizes demons pouring through will destroy everything. But so the prince is doing stuff just because he can.
The two icons that I would pit against him would be the Crusader, because I envision him as being a bit like a bull in a china shop where the ends always justify the means, and the Crusader is just going to go rampaging across the countryside, doing whatever it is that he's needing to doing. And destroying all of the wards along the way, disrupting the ley lines, just whatever it is. And the Archmage has to come along behind him every single time and clean up the mess. I was also thinking that the Orc Lord would be another natural one to pit against the Archmage. The Archmage is keeping all the monsters out of the Midland Sea and keeping the monsters in the Iron Sea also at bay. And maybe supposed to be keeping all of the orcs at bay to the north, and somehow they're getting through.
Yeah, I think that's kind of one of the keys to the Archmage, is that for all of his wards and all of his power, there's too much going on in the Empire for even one person, right? That's kind of the point of Shards of a Broken Sky, is that one of the Archmage's plates that he kept spinning in the air fell out and fell down and broke a huge chunk of land.
I mean the Wizard's King's plate that he was spinning and didn't know how to keep going and fix.
I think for me, one of the most interesting ways to have him as an enemy or to see how the icons interact with him is to remove him from play. I kind of see the Archmage as one of those icons that everyone loves to pick at and pick on because he's the guy in charge, until suddenly he's not there. Whether he's captured or killed or disappears for some reason. I think to the Forgotten Realms when, was it the Avatar saga happened and Mistra, the god of magic, disappears and suddenly magic just stops working in
predictable fashion. Well, the gods in general, remember, yeah. They left for a bit. Yeah.
Right. And so I think it'd be very interesting to do a campaign where you still have icon relationships with the Archmage and you still can call upon them, but the key is the guy who was keeping all the plates spinning disappears, and suddenly everyone who was like, well, I don't like the Archmage, is like, well, man, was he necessary? What do we do? Becca, what's the true danger for the Archmage?
The true danger is essentially in your idea of having him disappear, all of this control that he has ends. And yeah, while human nature tells us, yay, freedom, it'll be great, if all the elementals are allowed to run free, how catastrophic is that? Mm-hmm. And if all the monsters are no longer confined to one area, or the storms aren't held back, and it turns out that beyond the Archmage's wards and safety, they are category fives and can just destroy swaths of land. And without him, a lot could be ruined for the everyday people who don't always appreciate him. I don't know if I see him getting so powerful that he would control everything and lock everything down. I think there's too much for him to be able to do that. But that could be a danger in your campaign if the Archmage decides, you know what, I'm going to control everything. Everybody wears pink on Wednesdays. Everybody wears blue on Thursdays. And that's just the way it's going to be. And there's no more what he perceives as free will.
Right. Because free will leads to chaos.
Yes.
I do like the idea of setting up that game where the adventurers get hired by someone who ends up being a bigger threat, right? But that, listen, what are the chances that this is the ward that is the straw that break? Oh, nope, that definitely broke the Archmage's back. And okay, now we have to fix this. I thought this was just a simple job, but now we may have started the end of everything. I don't know if you read it, but the second edition game, The Apocalypse Stone, do not run unless you are prepared to end your campaign world. But I mean, that's kind of the premise. The player steals something they shouldn't, and the world gets unhinged, and it can't just be fixed by putting it back. I think that is sort of a perfect age-ending story with the Archmage. You know, they always talk about a straw that breaks the camel's back. Now I'm looking at you four. That's four straws.
That's four straws, and the world is shifting and changing, and there's upheaval, and you either fix it or, man...
Yeah.
Age 14. Here we come.
Right. That could be a perfect champion to epic tier story twist.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were going to reimagine the Archmage, make him more ambiguous or more negative, how would you reimagine the Archmage in a different sort of capacity, like a different alignment, if you will?
Well, to push him into more of the ambiguous spectrum, I would have it be that the Archmage taps into many sources for his power, and he's not picky. So siphoning power from hell, pulling it through other dimensions, ritualistic sacrifices of magical creatures, power is power to him. And so whatever means it's going to take for him to gain the power to keep the wards functioning, he's going
to
do it.
I think one thing you could do is try to push him out of the lawful area and into more chaotic. And I think that would go along with your idea, Nick, of he's pulling power from anywhere. Well, he's no longer concerned about the laws of it. And if you have a chaotic Archmage, someone who isn't always controlling the weather or isn't always keeping giant elementals at bay from destroying the earth, today he was just kind of bored. So yeah, he skipped off to the North Pole, and we got 24 hours without any control.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that he's a bad guy. It's just he's no longer that more rigid, lawful character that is often seen.
Right. You could always argue that chaos doesn't mean random. It Mm-mm. means power in the hands of the strong. And the Archmage sees himself as the strongest that there is. So yeah, there are no limits to what I can do because I'm the only one strong enough to do them.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I kind of went, I really see it very easy going from lawful neutral to lawful evil.
That's why I picked them.
Yeah. Just... You know what? Quote Incredibles, can it just stay clean for 1 hour? And finally he snaps and he's like, it is going to stay clean because I'm not going to allow it to get messy anymore. And you could have a really weird time with sort of a tyrannical Archmage.
Talking about lawful evil and the controlling aspect to the point of, okay, Hydrid, you don't want to, you know, you want to fight against this encroachment? I'm going to control the storms and have lightning strikes and burn your forests to make way because I want nice, orderly farms and fields. Just force it.
Well, let's talk about an iconic campaign where the Archmage is up front and center. I think the last one we did this for was the Diabolist.
Mm-hmm. That sounds right.
So what monsters would you guys use in any sort of scene or adventure that's focused on the Archmage?
I like chimeras, owlbear, magical types that are made, not natural.
Mm-hmm.
You have all your guardians and golems and that kind of stuff.
Aberrations.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Things that are either created through magic, either they're for you or experiments gone awry and running around. Yeah, when the wards fail or rules change, and depending on how you're taking it.
I probably would have elementals come up pretty frequently.
Mm-hmm.
As the Archmage being, you know, capturing and controlling the elementals as part of his ward structure.
Yeah. Kind of, and they're kind of the pure expressions mm-hmm. of kind of the foundation of the world.
If we have an Archmage who is more experimental and looking at those monsters that are created, it can be very much a slap in the face of the High Druid or any other icon, the Elf Queen, that, you know, here's something that was grown or here's something that has been born into existence and it is being smashed beneath a mechanized or even just created being that is now the perfect iteration of everything I've ever wanted.
Mm-hmm.
If I was going to have an Archmage campaign, one of the biggest baddies that the players would discover would be an almost technically perfect golem, like a technically perfect monster that they can tell has been created to be that way. Mm-hmm. That would be the epic tier of, no, it's got such a, and such a perfect AC. It's got such a perfect hit. It's got such a, like, it uses its moves so economically, like, mm-hmm. there could be aspects of it to show this is what he is capable of if there wasn't everything else on him,
on his plate.
And in that, I mean, that's kind of terrifying if he could make these things and therefore order and structure the world if he wasn't so busy.
For me, I went with Rakshasas. Mm. They're just, they're so evil. They're so magical that whether they're fighting against the Archmage or they are working for an Archmage who is on his way, like, I could see them as the shoulder devil on the shoulder of Archmage going, no, it's okay. This is the way we fix everything. Mm-hmm. But also, devils, they're so lawful and so evil. They just, and that's just because I try and cram my games with as many demons and devils as possible.
I can see if you really want to stop the demons, we can help you.
We can help you. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We see the way you're trying to do things and we like it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So tying that in with campaign arcs, how would you come up with a 3-tier Archmage arc? Like, what would the focus of that be for you? Let's start with you, Mark.
I mean, we talked about some of them. You have the wards failing. You know, magical monsters, like I talked about, some of my golems or chimeras running a little too rampant. I mean, they're out there, but there's just more sightings or problems. So you can say you're sent to investigate, or you're, you know, that scene one in the bar as you're just meeting your fellow travelers in the tavern and someone, you know, crashes through the door and, oh my God, there's something in the street and mm-hmm. it's some sort of aberration or chimera that's tearing it up that hasn't been seen or maybe hasn't been seen in ages. And why is it here? Mm-hmm. And kind of start out and when we talked about different things, either, you know, the Archmage is on vacation, he's dead, mm-hmm. and the superiors just haven't said it yet because they haven't figured out among the five who gets to become the Archmage, or they can't figure out how to open his door to get his secrets, that kind of thing. Or he's been kidnapped, you know. One of your things, he's missing somehow or overwhelmed. You know, we have suggestions how we can do this. But yeah, the absence of it or something's going wrong. And then get into why. I had like the Prince of Shadows kind of throwing things off. Maybe he's kidnapped him or sent him, tricked him into going and voluntarily leaving to stop, you know, like Shards of Broken Sky. Hey, things are falling. Okay, I got to go there and fix this because this is bigger. You know, why is this elemental getting out? He's supposed mm-hmm. to be holding the city up. So he's gone and busy with doing something. You have to come up why the prince would do that. Maybe he's just bored, gets a laugh out of it because he can. And he knows, I can fix it at the end, but maybe he gets out of hand and he can't fix it. So he gets you to try to help because, like, oops,
mm-hmm.
I can't fix this.
What about you, Nick?
So I was thinking along similar lines of the wards failing, right? And why would the wards be failing? And kind of the underlying thought that I was coming up with was that the Wizard King, in all his grandiose wisdom in setting everything up and creating everything initially, he made a miscalculation. And now all of the ley lines that are powering all of these wards, the ley lines are drying up. Mm. There's no more power for the wards. It's not that the wards are failing, it's just that they can't function anymore without some sort of power source. And as a result, for the adventure phase, you know, levels 1 through 4 would be the PCs helping various villages as all of a sudden the Archmage's almanac is wrong. We're not getting rain when we're supposed to be getting rain. We're experiencing famine. We're experiencing disease. Other strange occurrences are happening. Elementals are escaping. Living storms are sprouting up. You know, trying to circle back around, figure out, okay, we're dealing with all these. We're putting out all these little small fires. And in the course of doing so, capture the attention of the Archmage, or at least his five superiors. And then that carries you into the champion tier and like, okay, you aren't just solving this on your own. We want you to actually come help us because you're doing such a good job with this. And being tasked with larger scale events like Koru stampedes, I thought it'd be really fun to do something about rabid Koru. It's terrifying. You know, monsters appearing in the Midland Sea when they shouldn't be appearing, you know, starting to bring the scale larger at this mm-hmm. point. And then in epic tier, you know, having proven themselves, they're tasked with dealing with the greatest threat yet. The wards that had been keeping all of the chaos contained in the Iron Sea and outside the boundaries of the Dragon Empire have shut down. And now it's not just that monsters are coming in, it's that there's actually an invasion being mounted against the Dragon Empire. And for the invading horde, I would probably do some sort of combination of Sahaguin and Rakshasas and have them start invading. Mm. And as epic tier characters, you have to not only deal with this invasion, but figure out a way of repowering these ley lines.
Right.
Yeah, maybe slaying one of the iconic dragons, maybe that magical blood getting back in the ley lines would repower it. Or something else.
The three become the two.
Right. Right. Or maybe the great gold worm. I mean, it's laying there, easy target. You know, who knows?
That's it's epic 14, tier stuff. That's why the 14th age is the age of demons.
True. Yeah.
Just saying.
That's what I was thinking.
Cool. Well, that's you, Becca.
If I was going to start a campaign with the Archmage, I think my first question would be, do I see the Archmage as a good icon or not necessarily evil, but not good? Mm-hmm. And that would depend a lot on the players then and if what their relationship with the Archmage would be. But I would start in Horizon with that bar fight I kind of talked about and how it wouldn't last long and you would get quickly taken to prison and then offered a way out. And in doing so, again, depending on who the Archmage is, there's that question of, well, are you doing these things for the good of the people? Or are you doing these things for the... And by champion tier, they have decided one way or the other. Either he is someone to follow or he is not. Mm-hmm. And if he is not, well, then what icon are we going to go join up with in order to take him down? And then come that moment between champion and epic tier, if the Archmage does disappear, what happens? And can you put that back and fix everything? And so epic tier would be, all right, either you were successful in removing the icon or you were not successful in defending the Archmage and now he's not here. So it is time to fix that, whether that is to find a new one or find the old one.
Right.
But it's got to get fixed now.
I like that. I think I was looking at adventurer tier, pretty normal adventurer tier-y stuff, but start threading in a cult that seems to be doing some nefarious things and nobody really knows what's going on. And then in champion tier, I would have the War of the Superiors. So the Archmage disappears and this cult of Rakshasas has been whispering in the ear of each of the superiors. And so Horizon turns into a battlefield and the group spends a large chunk of champion tier dealing with the threats that should not like escape Horizon. The superiors are definitely going into those vaults, going beyond the wards, doing the things they shouldn't do to be the last one to ascend to the Archmage's throne. And usually at that point, we should have somebody who is sort of on that path to the epic tier being shut down Horizon, deal with the greater thefts of the Rakshasa, find out what happened. Did they corrupt? Did they take out? Did they imprison the Archmage? And which one of the players is going to step up into that role? Because really at that point, if the Archmage is taken out, the Emperor, he wants someone in that role, right? The Priestess, all of the good icons. And I mean, even some of the more ambiguous ones, right? The Elf Queen doesn't want the Dragon Empire, but she wants it around for her elves to do things in. Even the Prince of Shadows, he's going to come in a clutch because it's his playground to burn down or not, and no one else gets to burn down my playground. So that's kind of what I had. I feel like that could be a fun, engaging sort of campaign arc.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, any final thoughts on the Archmage, pronunciation or otherwise?
What if he's stuck on his magical throne? They didn't really overthrow the Wizard King and turn him into a lich. He became one because he was there that long. Mm. And it's just time because the Archmage is burned out. They need a new body to power.
So he's more of like the God Emperor of mankind?
Yeah, that's kind of right. That's, he's stuck. You know, they can't get in a room and they get in. Oh, we need somebody else to sit on the throne. It's your turn. Your turn, Jam. No. You get seniority over me.
Yeah. Yeah. Who goes to replace basically the CPU of the ward system.
Yeah.
Knowing that they're going to be there for
and all the ley lines
several
connect to that.
Yeah, several throne. Ages, and it's a sacrifice play. I like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, cool. All right. Well, if you have any, if you guys want to add any comments on how you have used the Archmage in play, if he's been the focus of a campaign, if your players all love him or hate him, please comment on the episode or shoot us an email. We'll read it on the show. And if you'd like to support the show, you can do so by becoming a patron at patreon.com/iconicpodcast. Well, you've been listening to the Iconic Podcast.
If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, you can contact us at iconicpodcast@gmail.com or call and leave a voicemail at 720-924-1706.
And be sure to check out iconicpodcast.com for news, updates, and new episodes.
Thanks for listening.